just finished listening to an excellent program on KTVF on the youth problem in our city of Fairbanks. From the statistics and the reports, the moderator asked for comments and interest in this program. I personally would like to answer with some questions. I think the youth program is necessary and it's excellent, but from the figures presented, I just wonder if the grown-up program don't need a little reconditioning also. The percentage of figures that we're giving and the amount of arrests and the amount of delinquency in juveniles is about 10 to 15 times greater in the grown-ups. Some of the youth problems I can attribute to the lack of civic honesty and civic pride in individuals and groups of individuals that are concerned only with themselves and their own progress. I will take one instance. We have a park here known as Griffin Park that was built by the people of Fairbanks quite a few years ago for the youth living down in this end of town. At that time, it was the main part of town, the main residential part. That park has been completely destroyed. Then we had a place known as Weeks Field that was donated to the city and converted into an airport and eventually subdivided into a real estate deal by the city. And then we had a place known as Anchor Park on the river. The pioneer women used to plant flowers along the river and beautify it. And we used to have picnic tables down there years ago. That was appropriated for a power plant and a water treatment plant and a storage yard for all kinds of junk. All right, we even civically, we try to go locally in South Fairbanks and create a small park in the interest of local kids to have a place for them to play that's laid there for 5 years with the equipment wrecked and it's a weed patch. And I just wonder how much civic-mindedness and how much the grown-ups are going to do to clean their own house and stop putting it under the rug. When are they going to start cleaning under that rug and start to take an interest in the town and set an example for the youth? I think the youth has really set the example for the grown-ups, and I think that something should be done about it. There's some 65 churches in this area, and they all teach good. But do they practice good? Now, I'm not trying to criticize or dig into something, but I think it's time that people stop and sit down and think and just look at themselves a little bit, and maybe they'll find some of the ailments of this town. This is Harry Hughes, and this is October the 6th, 1960, at Fairbanks, Alaska. This is Harry Hughes, a citizen and legal voter in the city of Fairbanks. I have been asked to comment on the election and how it was handled. I and two other candidates for offices filed within the legal advertised closing date for filing for office in good faith on the following Monday after the closing date, Friday night at 5:30, the city council Monday night at council session, I believe, in violation to their own city ordinance, passed an amendment to the ordinance, or an ordinance change, in one meeting, without public hearing, and without complying their own ordinance specifying the rules. On advice of their city attorney, and I don't believe that their act was legal, honest, or just. I believe that this is setting a very bad precedence for the city of Fairbanks, and I believe that any citizen that takes part in their government and files for office or shows their intent to be willingness to hold office, even though they cast only one vote, has the right to question an unfair or possibly illegal act. If there is a judge and an attorney, or a judge and an attorney, in this area that is honest enough and got guts enough to get up and get this public aired out and permanently determined, I don't believe the city council or any official of the city has the right to change, amend, or alter an ordinance in the interest of one person or a group of people. There were 17 approximately filed for office after the legally advertised closing date on advice of the city attorney and action of the city council in extending the time one more week, which brings it closer to the election date than my interpretation of the ordinance was, that so many days has to elapse prior to an election before the closing day for candidates has to be so many days before an election to give the citizens an opportunity to look the candidates over and give an honest opinion and consider their vote. Well, how can the city officials, either one person or by group, take it upon themselves to contradict this ordinance without a public hearing, without proper procedure? And how many more acts have the city committed in this manner? And if the city was not legal in this act, any act that they commit from that time on, morally and legally, should be declared illegal, and the whole council is illegal in its action, including the mayor. And I believe that we should do something about it. I will sign the necessary papers to bring this thing to a concrete decision. If it will benefit the people of Fairbanks and myself and people that are honest. The candidates that filed for office prior to our closing date did with good intent also. And I believe it has lowered the moral responsibility of the city officials here in Fairbanks to allow this to exist. I would like to see something immediately done about it. My name is Harry Hughes. I'm 61 years old. And I've lived in the state of Alaska for over 30 years. I've lived in the city of Fairbanks over 24 years. Do I count? Am I a citizen? Do I have a right to my personal opinion? I would like to have some of these things answered in the proper and legal manner.
This is Fairbanks, Alaska. I got it on record. There, yeah. It's on record now. Now you can talk to me, Martin.
What do you want me to talk to?
Your name is Martin Nuppy?
Yeah, Martin Nuppy is my name. I was born in Buffalo, New York, and second day of December in 1868. Second day of December, 1868.
You decided to come to Alaska when?
Yeah, when I was a young fella, my folks moved out west to Winona, Minnesota. Lived there until I was 18, and I went down to Arkansas. I was down there and for a couple of years, and the yellow fever was so bad, and the whole country quarantined. You know, and no railroads. So I finally decided I'd better come up to Tacoma. I landed in Tacoma in 89. Worked around Tacoma. And I asked my brother-in-law to come out, and I went back to Dawson with him. Stayed there 3 years.
That was 1902 you went to Dawson?
Yeah. I went to Dawson in 1902.
Do you belong to the Dawson Pioneers?
No. Mm-hmm. So I stayed there 3 years, and I had to come out on account of my wife. I got pretty sick in Seattle, and I went down to California with her. Stayed a while and dropped a little money I made. So I decided to go back again. So I come up here to Fairbanks. I landed down in St. Michael's then and stopped around there for a couple of weeks. And then from there was a fella down there. He was on the boat when I come up to St. Michael's. We stopped at Rome at the first boat, you see, in the spring. And his name was Mort Stevens. He used to be around here. He built a boat there in Seattle. He's going to do some freighting up on the Iditarod River. So I come up with him to see. I come up here. Before, no, I landed at Ruby first and caught a boom on down there. I'd been pretty late then.
How did you travel then?
We come up the river on the boat. This fella put this boat together in St. Michael's on the beach there. He built a launch and it had a scowling. So, went to Ruby. That was in 1911 already, see?
1911.
So, in Ruby, it didn't look good to me down there. I says, this town ain't going to last, so I better get up to Fairbanks. See? So we had a scow there. Mort Stevens had this boat. He had a scow, you know. Mm-hmm. Put banks in it. We had about 30 passengers going up the river with that old.
Oh, was they pulling it?
No. He had a automobile engine in it and a big wheel. He used to drive this car down in Nevada, you know, and he went down and picked up that old engine and brought it up. Had a hell of a time.
Did it have a stern wheeler or is it driving?
Yeah, we made a stern wheeler out of it. We used this engine.
This old automobile engine?
Yeah. I forgot the name of it.
Then you come on in into Fairbanks on that?
Yeah, landed over here. Yeah.
Right about where Barry's trailer court is.
Well, just along there, mm-hmm. Arthur McGowan, he heard about me coming up the river, you know, the great gumshoe telegraph. So he come down there about midnight and he hollered, "Yeah, I got up and went." There was Arthur, dressed and went uptown. Well, you know, I didn't have no overcoat to get me into it. So Arthur says, "Let's go out and buy an overcoat." Well, we couldn't find one in the whole town, and these stores didn't have an overcoat.
Didn't care if they got it.
Didn't have it. I don't know what's the trouble. So I didn't buy one until they finally got some in here. So Arthur says, "Let's. We got a chance to buy that old model, let's buy it." So I said, "Shit, I ain't got no money." He said, "That's all right." Well, we bought the model. It's up there with the printing offices and there's a big building, you know. We done pretty well there. There's five people on that old shack. Ready to fall down, they wouldn't do nothing. So we bought with that. You know where Bernie Carr's is. What's the name of that saloon on Front Street?
Oh, you mean the Nevada Bar?
No.
Oh, you mean on the corner?
No. You know where Bernie Carr's
clothing store is? Yeah, that block.
Back there is a saloon.
Yeah, that's right next to the, where the liquor store is now.
You know, it's a big saloon. Well, we bought that and built the model there and closed the other one up. We run that for 6 years when the big fire came and burnt the whole block down. Then we bought this place. That's I don't know if it is. I thought I'd... Finally, I thought I'd retire. Mm-hmm. Biggest mistake I ever made. Never retire till you're ready to go in the grave.
That's right.
Never retire. It's a bad thing. Well, you've got about all I
need. I will let you see the, hear this and see what it sounds like.
Prior to a city or municipal election, how can the city council or the mayor, on advice of the city attorney, violate their own city ordinance in that I, as a candidate, and two other candidates filed within the legal advertised closing date of filing for candidates on the following Monday, the council by resolution or amendment to the ordinance in one meeting without public hearing extend the time 1 week and cause 15 or 17 additional candidates to file with the thought in mind that they've legally filed in good faith. I would like to see this question settled. If there is an attorney and a judge in this area with enough get-up and honesty to take this case up and follow it through, I would like to see something done about it. This is Harry Hughes. I filed in good faith in good time. Through the neglect or laxity or the deliberate carelessness and misinformation the council has committed an outright act against their own rules. I would like to see this thing settled for once and for all. I don't believe that an individual opinion should supersede written and enforced laws for the benefit of a group or a single individual, any place. And if I had only been filed as a candidate with one vote, I still constitutionally believe that this was an illegal and an improper act and should be handled accordingly.
Let's see how that come out.